Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go there. It says, in the beginning was what? So we say, well, what can I do on Christmas? It's Christmas morning. I should have been like everybody else. Somebody's baking cookies this morning. I could be baking cookies, baking cakes, you know, on Christmas Eve morning. There's so many things I could be doing, looking at, you know, going around looking at the sights. But in the beginning was what? The Word is what it's all about. God's gift to us. When he gave his son, what did he give? The Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? In who? The Word. There's life in the Word. I think that's the Word. I believe we hear the Holy Ghost and we're learning some things. And one of the things that God is speaking to us about is life. And life more abundantly. We go from wave to wave and season to season. And you know what? We don't time those things. We don't know the seasons. We can discern what's going on, but we don't make the waves. And we don't discern the word of the season. The Holy Spirit does. And the word of the season, fellowship. Christmas is all about fellowship. When you look at things, people are getting together. They're getting about the word of God. But it's all about Christmas is fellowship. And people are looking to get into what? Relationship. A good life. There is no such thing as a good life without good relationships. And the best relationships you can ever find is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's no such thing as a relationship with Jesus Christ without a relationship to those that are also a part of him. We're going to learn some things this morning. We're going to figure out a way so that somebody, this is going to be a good Christmas this weekend, but you're going to have a better Christmas next year because you're going to add some more stuff into your Christmas experience and find out what it's all about. God is speaking to us about relationship. Remember we talked about being a friend of God, that it was basically based on fellowship with God? Well, we're going to find this out this morning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him is life. I'm starting to discern that there is a higher quality of life. There is a higher quality of life that God wants us to have. I tell you what, you know, the people perish for a lack of knowledge. People perish for a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God or the things of God. So we lose certain things that God designed for us to have throughout the time. Whenever you want to kill somebody, keep them ignorant. Whenever you want to stop somebody, keep them ignorant. Don't teach them to read. Don't teach them anything, but keep them in darkness. And that's the trick of the devil always, to keep people's minds blinded of the truth. But God in the last day, through his revelation spirit and through his knowledge, is revealing truth to us. So you got to realize, don't allow a Christmas to go by without meditating on the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in that Word was life. Many people are trying to experience some kind of life this weekend. Anybody get to go to any Christmas parties? Isn't it amazing that some of the Christmas parties that we go to, when you go to certain people, go out to bars, and you sit at the bar, they give you a little drink, and what do they call that little drink? A spirit. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get alive. They say, we need to spice this thing up a little bit, so they add a little bit of alcohol there, or add this there, because there really isn't any kind of quality life in the people that they fellowship, so they have to add something to it to bring life to it. Christians should have the best parties. First of all, we're going to find out that Christians should be having parties. This is one of the things that we're learning. This is where we're going in this next wave. Social. We should be the most social people out there. We should be able to get along with everybody. You can't get along with somebody you don't got Jesus. You got to learn it. And you don't have Jesus. If you got a problem getting along with people, there's something wrong with you. You need to confront Jesus Christ. The first thing Jesus Christ is going to work out of you is that, you know, Jesus is a person of love. He's a person, you know, he teaches us everything that he teaches us how to get along. I mean, you can be messed up and crooked, but when you get with Jesus, he'll take that crooked thing out of you and make it straight, and he'll give you favor with God. And if you get favor with God, you'll have the ability to get favor with men. There's no such thing as a Christian that people can't stand. Maybe because a Christian is basically an anointed one, and the anointing is there to do people good, right? So if anybody ever known anybody that was, anybody hated anybody to try to do them good with common sense? If you found somebody on the street corner giving out money, you're not going to hate that person. You're going to go up and give them a hug and put your hand out, right? Well, it's the same thing about Christians. True Christians, a true Christian is hated by the devil, but they will obtain favor both with God and man. We're not going to slip back into the old thing. We're into newness of life. The Bible says that we should be a strange and peculiar people. I mean, our experience should be a little bit different than everybody else's experience. So let's get deeper with it. Well, it's all about fellowship. Let's go here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this. When are we allowed not to walk in the Word? I'm going to answer that question. When are we allowed not to walk in the Word? When our culture permits it? When our culture permits it? When are we allowed not to abide in the Word of God? When are we allowed to let the Word of God down? When it's popular? When it's unpopular? Well, the Word of God is true, and we must always abide it. But it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. There is a godly people. Where are they? I mean, there should be a difference. What is the difference? The one has the Spirit of Christ on the inside, the other doesn't. There should be a difference. Even in the Christmas season, we got a big job to do. Does anybody realize that as the body of Christ and the mission? I mean, we have a mission and we have a mandate for God, and it is all consuming. If y'all might not realize that, you need to listen to some more scripture until you realize that the mandate that we have on our life, I mean, it is intense. And so often we'll allow things to just to run up on us. But you know that even Christmas, you know, there is a supernatural Christmas that we can have in Christ. But before we can have that, we got to learn of it and experience it, and we'll get there. Now, it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Fellowship. We have fellowship with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. In all things, we have fellowship with that. And in Christmas, in this Christmas season, we have fellowship with what? During Christmas? The Word. And so often we choose what we want to fellowship with at Christmas. It's all a choice of what we choose to fellowship with. I'm sure nobody missed their appointment, their date with the mall this week. Come on, somebody say, you had your fellowship with the cash register when you had to buy those gifts. You didn't miss your fellowship appointment at that big party at the grocery store buying those green beans or whatever you're cooking and your ham. You made your appointment. Just the whole world is out there celebrating. The traffic on the streets during the Christmas season turns into a party. And if you're a part of it, you're in fellowship with it. Sometimes you can get caught into some things. And you got to be really careful what you're truly fellowshipping with so that you can be the different person that God wants you to be. All right, it says this. Come out from among them and I will receive you. Even on Christmas morning? I mean, what about the little baby Jesus in the manger that the wise men knelt down at? Wasn't no baby there. That's a little boy. Months. Tradition. Oh, we can't mess with tradition. We don't want to spoil anything. But we're going on to a higher plane. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The important thing about Christmas is what was in the manger. What was in the manger? Who was in the manger? What did he come to do? And what did you... Actually, there was a baby in the manger, but that baby didn't mean a hill of beans to a lot of people. Why? Only those that knew what that baby was and knew what that baby came to do have a reason to celebrate. I mean, people don't even realize they're celebrating something. Their deliverance to go to heaven and their deliverance from sin was in the mangers. I mean, people sin to celebrate their victory out of sin. Come on out. But he said, listen, come out from among them. If you separate just a little bit, I'm not saying trash everything about Christmas and pull down the Christmas tree, but I'm saying at least separate yourself just a little bit. Make a difference. There should be a difference on the inside. I got something that somebody else doesn't have. That means my Christmas experience should be a little bit different than those that don't know Jesus. Come out a little bit. Maybe you're coming out, maybe you had to come out of the house on Christmas Eve. I believe in times, the house of God will be what Christmas is about. People will come to worship Jesus. We'll do it just like Jesus did it. And then we'll have Christmas throughout the year. Amen. We should be giving gifts throughout the year. And that pressure, materialism. I'm not coming against Christmas this morning. I'm just telling the truth. We got to realize what's going on. And we got to realize what's happening. People marketeer, you know, the people don't even believe in Jesus, the one making the money. Who owns Saks Fifth Avenue? The one who didn't even receive him. They the ones making the money, you buying the stuff. It turns into a form. What happens is we realize it's people, we got to get down to the heart of the matter and get to the truth. And because we'll lose what it's all about and support that thing, we miss our opportunity for evangelism. We miss our opportunity for evangelism. In order to keep a market going. What would happen if one year we just said, we're just not going to do it that way. We're going to think about Jesus one year. I think you should be excited about the receive you. He said, if you come out from among them just a little bit, I will receive you. There is something about being received of God. Be received. He said, if you come out from among, separation is a little bit hard. We're not talking about being called be crazy. But you know what? Separation has a little bit of difficulty to it. But you got to separate in the Christian faith. There are some things you got to walk away from. There are some things you need to come up from. Well, when you got born again, you separated yourself from hell. When you get healed, you separate yourself from sickness. Separate yourself. Those that choose to separate themselves are received of God. And separation means to take ones into favor. That word, it says, and I will receive you. That's the English word that we put there. But God said, if you just separate yourself a little bit, guess what? I'll take you into my favor. I will favor those that separate themselves. Wow. Somebody say, I'm separated in order to be favored. So it basically said, and I will receive you, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I see something great coming. As we grow older in the Spirit of God, and as we mature in the Spirit of God, as we get into the Word, as we fellowship with the Spirit, when we fellowship with the Spirit, God gives us something, and God is trying to give us something that will change our everything. And we get vision. I mean, it expands our vision of what life is supposed to be. And this fellowship that God is talking about, it will only come about it's all right to come out. I'm believing that the day is coming that the Christian way is the best way, that because the Christians do better. They're favorite of God. They separate themselves and they come. See, we're so stuck to the world because we're so used to the world having everything. You know, they don't want to be with the Christians. They ain't got nothing. They're just singing about Jesus and getting out of here. You know, they got a reason to get out of here. But if we do things God's way, we receive the favor of God. And if we start living like them, see what happens when you get saved, you cut yourself off. The devil's not going to support you when you're saved. I mean, he's not going to pay your bills when you're saved. You got to switch over all the way. All the way. And we're talking about the switch over. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Say, we're talking about fellowship. I love to worship. And before I said, this ain't no country club. You come in here for God. This ain't no social. And God says, oh, no, brother. You're missing something. Oh, yes, it is. What? Fellowship and the ability to be social with one another is also of God. And we're going to learn that. Say, we're going to receive of God just by hanging out with each other. I mean, that you can go to a Christmas party and get just as much as if you've gone to a Holy Ghost meeting. That doesn't mean you put the Christmas party over the Holy Ghost meeting, but we're missing something. There's something wrong when Christians are only Christians when they're singing in the choir or when they're in church. That's not going to cut it no more. We got to get it together to get ourselves together to where we get into fellowships with one another. And we're going to find out that certain things that the Apostle Paul was talking about, he was talking about church settings at times. He says, look, one has a psalm, one has a hymn, one has a word of encouragement, one has this. Well, they weren't necessarily always talking about their temple experience. They were talking about when they got together to eat. How they got together to eat. They say, when you come together to eat, if I go to your house, guess what? You might have a word that might lift me up. You might have a song that might bless my heart. It doesn't have to be at church. We're going to get it together. Amen. God blesses us and prospers us that we can fellowship and live together. I'm talking about live socially and have that quality of life that God desires us to have. See, we have people running to the world to find fulfillment. They don't understand you. They don't know about you. They're not going where you're going. We're going to get there. It's preached and then we receive it. Social. When we see divorces happening, divorce here, divorce there, relationships break up. One minute they're getting along, next minute they're cutting everybody's head off. You don't know why this is happening. There is a problem. And I mean, we can be so spiritual, but we can't walk from out the church door, get up off the floor, speaking in tongues, rolling on the floor. But you let somebody step on your toe on the way to the bathroom. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. They don't cut it no more. Amen. The Holy Ghost is also involved in how we treat each other and how we fellowship with one another. I mean, you should learn to love people. When this brother walks in there on Christmas, I mean, Christmas should have been time. Hey, I'm not going to forget about my church. No way. Not just my church. I got to be with the saints. The saints are extremely important. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love in the fellowship of the Spirit. Woo! How many of you love Holy Ghost meetings? It said, in the fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his stuff, but every man also on the things of others. Others. Well, that means that your fellowship in the Spirit, what? That means you're touched from the Holy Ghost. That means your big anointing is wrapped up in how you treat others. Your coffee bar time's got to match your anointing in the service. When somebody takes your parking spot, that needs to match up to your prophecy on Sunday morning or Friday night or whenever it is. Others. See, because that's Jesus. We're going to find the baby that was lost. That's the same thing with a lot of churches. You see, we blame the world for not knowing where Jesus is. The world ain't looking for him. But there's some saints that still don't know who Jesus is, where Jesus is, and what he's trying to do. There's one thing 2,000 years ago to celebrate a baby coming. The baby came. It's over. But now you need to find out where the baby's at today so they can make a difference. The day is the day of salvation. Where is the baby today? That's what this fellowship is all about. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You ever heard it's not what you know, it's who you know? Isn't that good? Fellowship. What this man was saying, he said, listen, when you fellowship with me, you fellowship with my experience and who I know. They saw some things that the other ones didn't see. They knew some things that the others didn't know. And there was only one way that they would become familiar with that, and that is by fellowship. There are some anointings. There are some graces of the Spirit of God that will only be learned, experienced, and discerned but by fellowship. Hang with it. Some things aren't taught. Some things are caught. And you got to get in it and hang with it. So we know that that fellowship is extremely important. And you can't separate your worship from your fellowship. This is good for Christmas because that's what it's all about. You expect a little bit more from the Christmas table. Expect a little bit more from the Christmas table. You expect a little bit more from your relationship. I'm in for this fellowship that God said I could have, because if I get that fellowship, that's life. Christians aren't tacky people. That's the first thing we need to learn. Look at somebody and say, lesson, right? Get on your little notebook, say first thing. Christians aren't tacky. They're classy. They're the upper class. He said, God will lift you up. He'll exalt you and promote you. Amen. They're the top. Amen. There's a top, not out of the bottom. He said, fellowship, and these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared of you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, talk. I mean, we got to get this. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Amen. But your walk will pay the bills. It says, listen, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do what? We do what? We lie. Another truth. Christians can lie. I mean, some people are so familiar, so used to lying, that they don't even know when they're telling the truth. They believe their own lies. You ever look at somebody in the face and cold-faced lying? No, they didn't research. I mean, just lying. And they believe their own lie? You ever met somebody like that? Well, Christians can be that way. Tradition will do that to you. Sometimes you'll pick up a traditional lie. You'll pick up a traditional lie about something, and you just keep on doing it and keep on doing it to where you believe it. You can't tell me there ain't no Santa Claus. That's what it was all about. It's a lie. He said, if we do this, we lie and do not the truth. But if we do what? Didn't say walk it. It didn't say talk in the light, did it? Did it say talk in the light? We got a whole lot of light talkers. A little lightweight. They light talkers. I mean, they get on the phone with you, man, the whole room glows. You think you're in heaven someplace. You talk to them. I mean, you meet them the first 15 minutes and Jesus did this and Jesus told me this and I just want to do this and I just want to do that. And they'll give you a ray of light. If everybody was like them, the world would be a better place. But that walk don't even make it to the counter to wash a dish. We walk in the light. It's not enough to talk in the light. I think we got a whole lot of light talk. A whole lot of light talk, but we need some light walk, some walk. It said if we walk in the light, amen. I'm tired of hearing all the stuff. But if we walk in the light as he is, where? Where is he? We have fellowship with who? What? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So wait a minute. If we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship with who? With each other. Those other things aren't dishes, but basically what he's saying, if you have fellowship with him, you have fellowship with one another. We got to put that in people. Say, God's got to work. Some say, you got to get along. You got to work this out. This is important. I mean, this is important. Your fellowship stuff is important. There ain't no such thing as dysfunctional Christian. You got to work this stuff out. This is a serious thing. Paul talked about it. He said, listen, that's why he talked about the love walk and the grace walks. Why? It was extremely important that these things be done. You got to work it out. You can't get away with certain stuff. You can't be mad at your sister. You can't be mad at your brother. You better get over it or the rapture will get over on you. There's no place for it. You have got to keep your fellowship tight. Whatever the thing you're dealing with, if it's in the way between you and your brother, guess what? That's as close as your fellowship is with Jesus. You should be able to have it together. Don't go to a place. Don't go to a church that has a big church, but they can't get along with no services going on. If you can't eat at Bennigan's, you don't need to be singing together in church. It's the truth, because it's phony and it's wrong. It's going to get better. And we got to work this stuff out, because that is our fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God, it shows you how you're getting along with others about the measure of how you're getting along with Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? We're going to learn to get together in these last days. We're going to see something that the devil has been coming against the work of God, coming against the move of God. We're going to get our stuff together in the last day. Fellowship. Community. It's crucial. And it's important. Can't you see how this fits in with Christmas? This is what Jesus came to do. This is what Jesus was all about. He came about to bring us peace with one another to where we couldn't get along in times past, in ways past. We couldn't get along with each other. We didn't have the ability to love because we had so much ego. We had so much stuff. But with Jesus Christ, he gave us a life. He's given us a culture. He's given us a culture that we should live and walk and abide in. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we have what? With one another. So we should look at it this way. When you find somebody that can't fellowship with somebody, that's a problem. And say, come on over. Come on and walk in the light. It'll open up some stuff. See, there are many things that you're in the dark about. There are many things about life that you're in the dark about. There are many pains and wounds in your life, many situations that you're going through that you're in the dark about. You know what it's saying? Well, guess what? If you just get in fellowship with somebody, guess what? They might bring light to that dark situation. It might not come from up here in the pulpit. It might come from that sister that you just went to go shopping with. Walk in the light. See, there might be some things you're in the dark about. You might have a nasty attitude and nobody wants to tell you. You're in the dark about it. Everybody else knows, but you're in the dark. But I can't tell you about your attitude when I'm preaching. You might have to get with somebody and say the wrong thing one day and the lights come on. Wait a minute, sister. Let me tell you something. The lights will come on. Some of the things about your life will only be displayed when you walk in the light of your relationships with one another. There are certain things I learn about God from the members in the church. There are certain things I need to know. I can only get it out of this brother. And he don't have to stand up in the middle of the service and say, thus saith ye the Lord. That's not how it goes. Walk in the light. Or you'll find some stuff out. Many of your biggest truths come from walking in the light. Amen. On the telephone, working these little Christmas projects and doing different things. Walk in the light. It's all about a church. Amen. I've learned things from people that I would not have learned or experienced with just what the people tell us what church is all about. That's just our worship experience. But church is a lifestyle. It's a community. It's how we fellowship with God. You're going to find out that the baby that is missing, guess what, are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to find the baby? You want to sing a Christmas song? You want Christmas? You want to find the gift that the Father gave? Get along with each other and you'll find Christ manifested corporately about us. He'll show up then. He'll show up then. You want the baby? Get with your brother and sister in Christ. And you'll find a part of Jesus that you need. You'll find your breakthrough. You'll find your deliverance. That's what fellowship is all about. And it's only this fellowship that we can get this from. Now, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. See, we got premise from the Holy Ghost to tell people, you got to cut that out. You need to get along. I mean, it used to pass. That's just me. We all got a little dark side. No, we need to get over this and go on. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You got Christ. You got the help of God to help you deal with that stuff. And this, when I heard this revelation in my heart, I started to think, my Lord, these things are important. If we walk in this light, we really got to walk in the light and not have fellowship with the workers of darkness, because there's a sense of vulnerability there. All right, Acts chapter 11, 26. We're just using Christmas as to introduce us to our next wave. And when we had found him, we brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with who? Who did they assemble themselves with? And taught much people, and disciples were called Christians. When? When? Where? So they were called Christians first. Where? The church in Antioch. Oh, hold on. This is really crazy. We're about ready to stomp a religious cow someplace. We're about to stop something someplace. But the Word of God tells us the truth. Okay. They were first called Christian. Called Christians in a church in Antioch. Scratch your head a little bit. So there was a church before they were calling people what? Christians. And today we got a whole lot of Christians that don't go to church. Where did that come from? The Christians came out of the church. Now we got some, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do. Churches, which are people that come together and fellowship together and love one another, confront each other, amen, and get over. I mean, you confront somebody, you got to tell them like it is sometimes, then you got to learn to get over it. That type of community, that type of relationship does what? It breeds Christians. We got so many people that are so Christian, they can't be church. You ever find people that are so Christian, they can't deal with church? I just had to get out of there. You know, I was just too saved. Everybody else was wrong, you know. He just called me on. It's just me. Us four, no more. Amen. We just pray at the house. What came first? And people expect God to be on their side with that foolishness. Nowhere in the Bible. People expect God to get on with them. Who did he know first? He said, upon this revelation. I mean, you're not going, don't get over on me. It's the body of Christ in this last day. And what God wants to do, he's going to do it through a corporate body that only he can put together, that only he can breathe, that only he can move through. It might take us a long time to get there, but guess what? We got to get there. We might fall along the way. We just got to get back up and get there. So they were first called Christians in Antioch. So my point is, church was first, then came the Christian. So don't let no Christian take you out of church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Whether you realize it or not, great things are going on. God is moving, and he'll confront us from top to bottom. You know, you can get mad with people. You know, you gotta check yourself. But God fixes things, and you learn to love people and get over it and find out what you got is good. I mean, we get mad, don't act like Christians because somebody wasn't acting like a Christian. You ever been that way? Well, I got sideways because they got sideways. I mean, the time when somebody's not acting the way they should act is when you need to act the way you should act, because they're worth that love and they're worth their devotion. You better thank God for your relationships and for your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And the person that'll be your biggest encouragement is the one that ticked you off the most. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the what? Which is the community. If you're zealous, how many of you are zealous for more of the Holy Ghost? Now see, we even get charismatic when we say spiritual gifts. And when we say spiritual gifts, we get religious and charismatic because somebody wrote a book in 1970. This little gift, that little gift. You got a gift, I got a gift. You do your little gift, I got my little gift. Hey, that's a wave. So we get religious. Let's separate ourselves from religion just a little bit. But when it says, if you're zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, when I read that, the body of Christ and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, see that you may edify the church. If you want to be spiritual, seek for the edification of the church. Edification. Of the community. If you want to be spiritual, your spirituality should be there for the edification of the body of Christ, even our fellowship, not just a good church service. We think that the edification of the church is just you getting up there and shouting and everybody shouts with you. Oh, the whole church is built up. Everybody leaves just as broke as when they walked in. Edify them. Edify means a whole lot more. Amen. If you're going to be spiritual, edification means build up the body. Because if I build up this one, I'm building up the body. If I build up and encourage this one, I'm building up the body. Because I'm not limited to just a church service. I'm thinking about the corporate flow of the church as a whole. Seek to excel, to edify and build up the body of Christ. If you want to get spiritual, you're going to build somebody up. And listen, make sure what you're building up is the body of Christ. If they're not attached to the body, you don't build them up. Amen. You look to see, there are certain people that I know if I bless this one, glory to God, the whole community is going to be blessed. If I bless that one, the whole community is going to be blessed. When you get blessed, everybody's going to be blessed because you're going to bless somebody else. Build up the body of Christ. This is what we're getting into. See, we're going to get into the thing to where our fellowship is so tight, to where our ministry and love and devotion is so tight. When somebody comes in that stuff, say, you're going to do better because you're around us. We're going to give you a break. We know somebody that might know somebody. You're going to make it. Amen. We're going to encourage you. You're going to be built up and you're going to make it. Build up the body of Christ if you're spiritual. You don't just keep it. Not just talking about building up the body of Christ. It's not just putting some, you know, building up the body of Christ is making people do better. Encouraging people, exhorting people, building up the families. I enjoy that. You know, I love it. Build them up. And we're going to realize that there is some wisdom that has been spoken. And it really does take a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a baby Christian. Not just the pastor, amen, but it takes an entire village, an entire church to raise up baby Christians, to get them to be all that God wants them to be. And we're not going to have it until everybody comes to that realization. Edify the body of Christ. It's a responsibility. That means when you come in this thing, you're coming up a level, amen. You're coming up a class, and you're coming up spiritual gift. But when I looked at this word that they got, spiritual gifts, it was a little bit broader. It was basically, the word spiritual gift was pneuma. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I thought it would be, like a tangible gift or a tangible gifting, or it wasn't as classified as spiritual gift. It was the word pneuma. Now, we all know what pneuma means, right? Spirit or Holy Spirit. So if you desire the Holy Ghost or the Spirit or basically the anointing or any type of spirit whatsoever, seek that you may edify somebody else. What does the Holy Ghost do? It edifies the body of Christ. It edifies, it does the work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit within me is in me to make somebody's life better. And basically the word spiritual gift, that word pneuma, was like a cool breeze. That word pneuma, or spiritual gift, is like a cool breeze. Also, that word pneuma, or cool breeze, in most times when they say the word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, it's in reference to the cool breeze, the fresh wind. The refreshing, that'll make everything better. The yoke destroying, power of God, the tangible breeze of the Spirit is in our midst. Let it blow, it'll change something. It'll make things better. So we know that our fellowship is extremely important and crucial. Let's get it right. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up?